May I warn you as we go into the message this morning not to let routine take away the freshness of the Word of God. So we have routines, we have schedules, we try to be decently and in order and do things decently in order in our church. But there's a danger to all of that, and the danger is that we get used to going through the motions without having our heart captured by truth and our heart set on the Lord. And when we get there, my friend, we're no different than a Catholic church or any other religious organization that's just doing their thing without any heart in it. And we don't want that. We don't want that as individuals. And so that being said, we want to get into the message this morning on worship in the church. I started it last week. I want to introduce the subject again by making you aware of the three things that Satan went after, in the life of Christ. One of the three was worship. He challenged him and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, give to Christ, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Or in other words, Jesus, I've got a lot of things to offer you if you will just change the object of your worship. Jesus responded unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Not everything that is called worship is actually worship. A lesson about that can be learned from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, because Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to the Lord to worship him. And one was accepted by God, Abel's blood sacrifice, and Cain's work sacrifice was rejected by God. One was received as genuine worship. Here's a true worshiper coming to me, and I accept your worship. And another one was rejected by God, and God looked upon it and said, it has nothing to do with worshiping me. And so Cain brought an unacceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice or acceptable worship to the Lord. Last week in the message, we learned from Scripture that the word worship means to adore. Certainly that is part of the meaning of Scripture, is to adore God. We also learned that it means to fall before someone in reverence. Notice, he pleaded with Christ that he would fall and worship him. There is something about us being on our knees before God in a respectable and a reverent place of worship. Certainly the Bible points to that as part of worship. There's also an understanding that worship implies or it includes ministering or serving God. Worship is our response to what we value most, as I shared with you last week. Whatever is worth the most to you is what you worship, because worship means worship or attributing worth to someone or something. And so if you tell me what you put all your energies and all your finances and all your time and all your affections and all your allegiance into, I'll tell you what you worship. It has a lot to do with our worship. The theme over these 2 weeks of messages on worship in the church is God is looking for acceptable worship rather than artificial worship. I think one of the powerful phrases in the text that we read this morning is God is seeking for true worshipers. Now, God's God. God's way up here. God's infinite. God's all-knowing. God's all-powerful. God's the creator. God knows the end from the beginning. He's eternal. And yet, he is looking down into mankind, and he's looking and he's seeking for true worshipers, or God's interested in your worship. That's amazing to me. Why would God be interested in me? There's the whole world. But God looks down and he's looking for true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a powerful thought. We learned last week by way of review that acceptable worship to God is first reverent. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'll not have you turn to these verses, but it says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Of course, that word serve is that interchangeable word with worship there in Hebrews chapter 12. It says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, or he's worthy of our reverence in worship. Let me say this. There's no room for pride when it comes to adoration of God. There is no room, those that sing in our church, those that lead singing, there's no room for you to draw attention to yourself and God still get our focus. Worship and reverence means everything points to God. It doesn't point to an entertainer. It doesn't point to a performer. It doesn't point to a skilled person with a microphone. It points to God. That's worship that God accepts. It is a reverent worship according to the scriptures. In fact, listen to these words. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. In Psalm chapter 29 and verse number 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. There's a lot of worship of individuals today in churches just like ours. May I say to you, that is not acceptable worship to God. God doesn't want to split adoration with anybody. His glory is not to be split with anybody. That's why we don't give a hand of applause to people that sing words about our Lord and sing songs. Why? Because God gets the applause. Everything is focused on our God. There's no room for pride in adoration. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I don't know if you're getting the import of this first point about acceptable worship, but it is a humbling thing to worship God. O come, let us bow down, the scripture says, and worship. O come, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. Can I say something else about the reverence in worship? When we are reverent in worship, we take on the function of a servant. I don't know about you, but what I understand about a servant is this. He doesn't have his own agenda. A servant has a master, and the master dictates the work. The servant doesn't argue with the master. The servant has one goal, and that is to please and fulfill the master's desires, commands, and wishes, or whatever the master says goes. The servant is a subordinate position. It is a humble position. And we find that when Joshua worshiped, he also took on the form of a servant. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. My friend, if you don't bear a servant's heart toward the Lord, then something is flawed in your worship. I'm talking about your personal worship of God. Because when you are truly humble before God, when you are exalting God, when you realize who God is, when you give him the attention and the exaltation and the praise and the thanksgiving that he deserves, you know what it puts in you? It puts in you a place of a servant. Lord, how can I serve you today? We see it in the life of Joshua. By the way, Joshua was a leader. Joshua was the leader of Israel, but he was a servant of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 5, look at verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and saith unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. By the way, we believe that this is a personal appearance of Christ. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. That's humility. And did worship. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? When he was confronted with the presence of Christ, The first thing that he did was fall. Basically, he was saying, I don't have or deserve the same stature that you do. I bow before you. My friend, it is not wrong for us to bow before God. It is not bad for us to take that kind of posture to recognize that God is lifted up and we are low. That's the first thing that he did. The second thing that he did, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? A heart that is in tune with acceptable worship, is offering acceptable worship to God, is a heart that is changed and directed and burdened for service to the Lord. If your heart is not bent on service, then your worship is off, my friend. Because when worship is right, then service will be right. What, Lord, do you have to say to your servant? What do you want me to do? By the way, good spiritual leaders are people that have a mindset of service toward God. Leaders at Mount Zion Baptist Church, good servants aren't bosses. They don't think of themselves as bosses. They think of themselves as servants. At Mount Zion Baptist Church, we teach servant leadership. You know why we teach servant leadership? Because we read verses like Joshua 5, 13, and 14. That first of all, I'm a servant to the Lord. And as I'm a servant to the Lord, he's going to show me how to serve this people. By the way, servant leaders are generally humble leaders. When you're in a position of a servant, when you take on the mindset of a servant, it doesn't have to be your way. It doesn't have to be you're above everybody else. You're there to serve people. All of us at Mount Zion Baptist Church are servants of God. We are servants of God. We must keep that mindset. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's worship that's taking place. My body's being presented. Holy, here's the phrase, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Where worship is, many times there is service that comes alongside of it. We certainly see it there, and it is acceptable. So many times we come to worship the Lord, but we're in a hurry. We want this little touch. Our minds are somewhere else. And we lose reverence when we're like that. I want to remind you when you come to church, my friend, not to be in hurry-up mode. I want to remind you to calm your minds and your hearts and get your heart fixed on the Lord when we come to church. I want to invite you to do that in your personal time with the Lord. We live hurried lives, very hurried lives. And you know what? It takes time to get myself calmed down and my mind in a framework to talk to the Lord and to spend time in worship before him, in reverence before him. Maybe in your personal walk with the Lord, that aspect is suffering. Can I remind you this morning that acceptable worship is reverent? In your personal time with the Lord, there should be some time of reverence. There should be some time of humbling yourself before God. God, you're big. Lord, I'm small. God, you're great. God, you're the creator. God, you're the rock. You're the mighty God, as we sang about this morning. Lord, your name is wonderful. God enjoys hearing that from his people. That is adoration. And God's interested in that. It is worship when we approach him that we don't have it all under control and figured out. Anybody have every life problem in your life figured out? You know, part of worship and humbling myself before God is saying, God, I need your help. God, this thing is bigger than me. And you know what? Most of us have been in those situations and maybe are in those situations today that whatever we're dealing with, God is bringing us to a place of worship where we say, Lord, help me. See, humility gives up my independence and control. I can't be independent of God. I can't live independently of God. And I can't control everything. God controls everything, but I can't control everything. You understand the woman expressed this in Matthew chapter 8, or the leper did, when he said, "And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Or, "God, I know if you want to, I know, Lord, that you have the power to heal me." Another passage of scripture, the person speaks out and says, it says, "Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me." See, acceptable worship is reverent and humble. Acceptable worship is responsive, and we dealt with that last week. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's responsive to what God is doing in my life. I'm responding to the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto his name. It's a good thing to count your blessings, as we sang about this morning. All of that is responsiveness to what God is doing for me in my life and who God is in my life. Thirdly, acceptable worship is restricted to God. Acceptable worship is restricted to God, or it's reserved only for God. Turn over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. God is looking for acceptable worship in contrast to artificial worship. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 25, Peter was coming to Cornelius. Now, God had created a vision for Peter, hadn't he? And so, Peter, as an instrument of God, thank God for instruments that God uses. Boy, beautiful song by the choir about being used by God. Thank God for instruments. But listen to me this morning. Be careful not to worship instruments. Verse number 25, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up." Can you imagine? This guy bows to Peter and worships. And Peter immediately, "Hey, get up. Get up." And he's teaching him something, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. When Cornelius saw Peter, he had great respect and reverence for him as a messenger from God. Respect is one thing, worship is another. And no man deserves worship. That's what Peter was saying. No man deserves that level. We can respect those that God uses. We can appreciate those. We can encourage those. We can thank God for those, but we better worship God. Don't substitute a man. Years ago, there was a movement within our ranks of being 100% for a certain preacher in our nation. And people that went to that particular college wore buttons. "I'm 100% for that person." No. Man, we are all flesh. We're not 100% for any man. We do want to reserve our worship for God. Worship is toward God. We do not worship saints. "Well, this saint that way back, saint whoever." No, we don't worship saints. We worship God. We don't worship prophets. We worship God. We don't worship statues. We worship God. We don't worship angels. We worship God. We don't worship false gods or relics or Mary, the mother of Jesus. There is one person. Biblical, acceptable worship is restricted to one person. That is God. That is God. Understand that. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive worship." You may be here this morning. You may come from a background that you worship and have worshiped statues, or you have worshiped saints in the past, or you've worshiped a false god, or you use relics and you worship the relics, or you worship Mary. My friend, none of that is acceptable to God. None of that will get you any closer to God or to heaven. In fact, it'll move you farther away. It'll deceive you. It is something that God rejects. acceptable worship is reserved for God. I'm not preaching because I hate other religions this morning. I'm preaching biblical truth that, guess what? It runs cross-grained to some of the teachings in other denominations, because biblical worship is only acceptable when it's made to God. Number four, acceptable worship rejoices in Christ. Yeah, it was a great day in church. Wait, have you spent time worshiping God in church? You know what? Every believer ought to walk out of a good service where music is God-honoring and preaching directs you to the Scriptures. You ought to walk out rejoicing. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter number 3. It's a sad day when Christians walk out of church and they're as miserable as when they came in. There's a problem. Their heart's not in the place of worship. They didn't come in with their heart in the place of worship. They didn't get their heart in the place of worship. And they're not leaving with their heart in the place of worship. Because, my friend, if you've been exalting God, you've been adoring God, you've been serving God, my friend, there is joy in that. Look at what the Scripture says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3. For we are the circumcision. He's speaking of spiritual circumcision. He's saying, we're believers. We're part of the family of God, which worship God in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit. Now, you can come to church in the body and not worship God in the Spirit. You can be present today, but be not here in your spirit. Does that make sense? How does God want us to worship? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's my spirit, the part that was made to communicate with God, communicating with God, and God communicating with my spirit. And I'll tell you this, if you've been in touch with God and your spirit's been communicated to by God, He doesn't leave your spirit down. You're not downcast, my friend. You can't be downcast when God's talked to you and you've talked to God. They worship God in the Spirit. And what's the next phrase? And rejoice in Christ Jesus. So when I have worshiped God in my spirit, what happens to my spirit and my focus? My focus is on Christ and my spirit is rejoicing. Now, my friend, if you find yourself going through the day and you're miserable and you don't have the joy of the Lord, guess what? Your personal worship is not right. Because personal worship is worship God in the Spirit, and boy, that puts a kick in my step. Boy, that puts a smile on my face. Boy, that trips a trigger. If I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I got a right spirit now because I've worshiped God. Paul's testimony, the church's testimony, we worship God in the Spirit. And what is the fruit of that? We rejoice in Christ Jesus. It shouldn't be a bunch of deadheads walking around Mount Zion Baptist Church. Shouldn't be walking around, can't wait till this life's over. No. No, not if your worship's right. Your worship's right, your spirit will be right. You say, preacher, I'm having trouble with my spirit. I'm really, really down. Then build up your worship. Then give more time in your life to worship. Then spend more time in your adoration part of talking to God. And you know what? You'll find it'll change your spirit. Acceptable worship is rejoicing in God. Acceptable worship is rooted in truth. It's rooted in truth. Only worship that's based on the Bible is true worship. We could define it then this way. True worship is constant inner praise to the God of Scripture, expressed in prayer, in song, in service, in giving, in rejoicing, and in living. That means it's not this. It's not just a service. Can you get that this morning? When we're talking about acceptable worship, it's not Sunday morning or Sunday night service. All right? Now, we worship God corporately together. Thank God for that. But worship that is acceptable to God God's looking for true worshipers. And my friend, that is a lifestyle. That is everyday living. That's what God made it to be. And true worship in your life, if it's just Sunday, my friend, you're missing out on a whole bunch. You're missing out on the other days of the week. You're missing out on a rejoicing spirit constantly. You're missing out on a focus on Christ that he wants you to have. We see acceptable worship, but we also see artificial worship this morning. John chapter 4, go back to the text if you would. The Samaritan woman here at the well thought, was sincere about what she gave herself to as far as what she thought was worship. See verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Notice that her worship was earnest, but I want you to understand that sincerity does not make worship acceptable in and of itself. She was sincere, but she wasn't sincere with truth. She wasn't worshiping God in truth. She thought she was worshiping God because she went to a place that her fathers went, and that was the mountain. She thought worship was in a place. She was earnest about that. She leaned upon that. She talked about that, that that was what her background was, that that's what she always did. She was earnest about it. She was sincere about it. She was as genuine about it as you could be. But watch this. She still had artificial worship. I want you to understand something this morning, that not everything that's presented as worship to God is worship to God. There's a lot of artificial worship going on. In our day, many are earnest in their worship, but earnest in worship does not mean acceptable worship. They are faithful to worship and deeply committed to that. There are very devout religious people. There are people in the Muslim faith that, guess what? They stop life, they bow down, and they pray 5 times a day. More earnest than most of us are, by the way. But watch this, not in truth. Not worshiping the God of the Bible. And therefore, their worship is artificial. We have earnest people with Elijah, don't we, in 1 Kings chapter 17? Man, I mean, they're trying to pray down fire from heaven, and they're cutting themselves, and, you know, whatever I got to do to get this God to answer me. God, I believe in you. They were earnest. There's no doubt about that. Was it acceptable to the God of the universe? No, it wasn't. Others worship nature or the sun or the stars, but it is artificial worship. My friend, hell will be filled with sincerely religious people who worshiped in the mountains, so to speak, who thought the place and the service was worship, but it will not be accepted by God. It's not today, and it will send them to a Christless eternity. I want you to understand that religion and traditions and all of that, if it doesn't point people to the God of the Bible and it's not reverent and it doesn't bring them to humility, these are the teachings about worship. My friend, it is a false worship. It is artificial. And God is looking for true worshipers. And by the way, with this woman, he confronted that head on. I'm looking for a true worshiper. In other words, you're not, but you could become one. And by the way, she did. She became a true worshiper. I want you to understand, not only is there earnest worship, but there is established worship here. In verse number 20 of John chapter 4, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She was influenced and involved in worship that had been established for generations. There was no doubt in her mind that this was right because it had been passed down to her. Generation after generation. My fathers, go back how far? My grandfathers, my great-grandfathers. We've all worshiped this way. It must be the right way. My friend, you better study what the Bible says about who to worship. You better study the God of the Bible and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if what you've been involved in as far as tradition does not worship God, then you better reject the traditions. And my friend, that's a hard decision. We deal with many people on this front. For them to turn their back. You say, well, you know, I went to this background that if I did this and this and this, I would end up being able to have the favor of God and go to heaven. No, I'm sorry. That's worship of the creature more than the creator. See, biblical worship accepts the sacrifice of Christ for your sins as the one and only way to come to God is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That does away with all works, my friend, and that worships God. But if you try to blend the two, then that is artificial worship. It is not acceptable worship. She had a form of religion. She had been established in religious activities, but she had never truly worshiped God. Established worship can be just repeated prayers, rituals that are religious. Understand that that is not acceptable worship to God. And then notice there's exclusive worship in this text. Look at verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Notice what he says here in verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. See, the object of worship makes all the difference. When I'm dealing with an atheist or I'm dealing with a skeptic, they generally worship their reasoning. This premise, and because this and this is true, there can't be a real God. And so they reject worshiping God at the expense of they've concluded, they've figured it out, that there's no God. This woman was worshiping, but God put the finger on the problem. You don't know what you worship. Your object is wrong, and therefore your worship is unacceptable. What did she have to come to in this passage? Look at verse number 25, John chapter 4, and look at verse number 25. This is when she became a true worshiper. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says God is a spirit in verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman is convicted to the point that she's talking about the Messiah. She's talking about the Christ. She doesn't quite understand yet that he is the Christ. But what he's told her has drawn her to this conclusion. I've got to know the Messiah, which is Christ. And Jesus makes it clear to her, doesn't he? In verse 26, look at it. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Of course, we know that she believed that because she went out into her town and she began to tell everybody about him. Exclusive worship comes down to Christ. Do you recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you see Jesus Christ as your only hope for your sin? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God that became flesh to die on a cross for your sins and to rise again, and that someday he's going to come and rule and reign on this earth? My friend, he is the Messiah. She had to come to that belief. And if you're going to be a true worshiper this morning, and God's looking for true worshipers, then you must come to the same belief. You must come to belief on Christ. Notice she had an empty worship. Established, earnest, but empty. empty. It's a devastating worship. It was a devastating statement when Jesus said unto her, ye worship, ye know not what. I find it interesting that there was a work of God going on in her heart. And the work of God was like this. First, she said, I have no husbands. Jesus said, you're right. But you've had five. And you're living with somebody right now. And she could have run right there. Boy, that was light, and it was penetrating darkness in her life. Whew, bright light. But she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, my friend, I want to explain something this morning. There are many people today in our world that perceive that Jesus is a good person, or that Jesus had some special power, or that Jesus was a prophet like the other prophets. I want you to understand that when she said Jesus was a prophet, she had not yet worshiped Christ. There was something going on in her heart. She was understanding, this guy's not normal. There's something special about this man. But she had to come to the position that Jesus is the Christ. She had to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You understand, our cults all over our country today paint Jesus as a prophet, paint Jesus as a good man, paint Jesus as a brother of somebody else that's good, but they don't receive him as the Christ. And I'm saying true worshipers have to come to the belief that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. She did not treat him with disrespect, but responded with respect. You see, look at, if you would, verse number 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In verse number 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's speaking about the Pharisees. You see, you don't have to be a Samaritan woman to have vain or empty worship. All you have to do is honor God with your lips and your heart be far from God, and you have empty worship. That means, my friend, as a believer, if you come to church and sing and testify and you go out and you dishonor God with your life during the week, it is empty, artificial worship. It is rejected by God. See, church doesn't make up for your private life. Somehow we get into this mindset, if I just get back to church, I'll get things right. No, you ought to get back to church. There's no doubt about that. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to clean up your life. You ought to get your life in agreement with God's word. You ought to deal with sin thoroughly in your life and get it out, understanding that if I live my life for myself and come and sing or come and testify or even go and witness to somebody of the gospel, your worship is artificial and it is rejected by God. That's on the authority of Scripture. In vain they do worship me. And so there's an empty worship. This morning, we learn that there's worship that is acceptable to God, and we learn that there is worship that is rejected by God. Now, every individual in the room and every individual listening by way of live stream, you choose your worship. It is a matter of the heart. It's what it is. It's a matter of your heart. As you look at your personal worship this morning, so in this service right now, worship can be taking place. That is acceptable to God. But in this service this morning, right now, artificial worship can be taking place that is just established, earnest, but empty. God looks when it comes to worship on the heart. I can't see the heart, but the Holy God of Scripture can. In your personal worship during the week, does it meet up to what God accepts in your life? Or is it rejected because there's little reverence in your life personally? Little time that you take to reverence the Lord, to adore Him, to exalt Him, to bow before Him. Do you find that your worship is faulty this morning because your servant's heart is lacking toward God? There's a correlation there. In Scripture, there's a correlation there between your worship and your service. Do you find your worship may be vain because of what you've given your life to this week that's outside of the bounds of Scripture? And you find yourself even reasoning in your own mind at times, I'll make it up by being at church. I'll make it up by serving in this way. But He says, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You have a vain worship. It's empty. It's artificial. It's rejected. Do you find yourself, even in a Baptist church, going through the motions? Even this morning, going through the motions without heart on what is happening, without really singing unto the Lord. In prayer time, your mind drifting somewhere else. You know, God is looking for true worshipers. Those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe, honestly, I believe in this building this morning, most of us know what it means to worship God in truth. But I'm not always sure that we're bringing our spirit alongside of that. And the evidence of the spirit worshiping God is that it changes my spirit to a rejoicing spirit. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your heads are bowed. Your heads are bowed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.